This hour on the programme as part of Manx Radio's build-up to this year's general election in September. Here on Talking Heads, we're chatting to the non-sitting candidates. And we're joined in the studio now by one of three candidates who've declared that they'll be contesting the seat of Middle, Howard Quayle. Good afternoon, Howard, and welcome to Talking Heads.
Good afternoon, Stu.
Now, you and I have talked and I've interviewed you dozens of times over the years because you're the past president of the Manx National Farmers Union, aren't you?
Yeah, I am indeed, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you've come to this position now of wanting to stand for Keys.
Okay, well, I was born and raised on the Isle of Man. I'm married to Lorraine and we have three children. I've lived in Crosby for the last 20 years. I started my career in the Treasury, funnily enough, and then I worked in the private sector.
I thought you were a farmer born and bred.
My family are farming, but they didn't want me to go farming, so I was sent off to get a good education and a good job. So, yeah, it's a funny old world.
Yeah.
But I left the private sector and set up... actually, I have three businesses. I have a company called Ballavitchell Estates Limited, which does pedigree livestock breeding. We sell bulls all over the UK and on the island. Then we have a fairly large tourist accommodation business renting out self-catering cottages to the to visitors to the island at Ballyhown Courtyard. And then we also have a property rental business. So it's a fairly diverse set of businesses, which I started from scratch with my wife.
Right, and plenty of bulls, so you'll be good in politics, clearly. What is it about standing for Keys that appealed to you, and how long have you been considering this?
Well, I started to receive phone calls at the end of 2009, would I stand? And having been president of the Farmers Union, knowing the commitment, the amount of work, the phone calls at all hours, and going out for a meal, you get people coming up to you, I gave it serious consideration. I think if you're going to do the job properly, you've got to get the blessing of your family for a start,
yeah.
That they're prepared for you to do it. So I felt there was a lot of support. I did have a considerable amount of people asking me to stand. I haven't been satisfied with the current government, the policies and the way they've been spending our money in the last 5 years. I've attended many debates and I thought, well, really, it's time to put up or shut up. So, and I genuinely want to put something back into the community. My businesses are fairly successful. And it's nice to put something back into the island.
And what will happen with the businesses? Because if you're a politician, one would hope that our MHKs do it as a full-time job.
Yes, I'm going to sell or rent them out. You'll give a young farmer or two the opportunity to take the farms on, and we'll either sell or rent out the other businesses.
I think it's absolutely laudable that we're talking to people who are standing, many for the first time, because in the Isle of Man we tend to complain an awful lot about things, but your comment there about, either put up or shut up, I wish more people were standing. Are you surprised that more people haven't declared already?
I'm very disappointed that more business people haven't declared. I think the island's economy is in severe trouble. The finances, I'm very disappointed with the way money's being spent. We've got a £100 million black hole in our income with the loss of the VAT. Okay, it was 140 million, but with the 2.5% increase in VAT and other savings, it's about £100 million that we're short. We've got a massive £2.01 billion pension. Another, black hole.
Yeah.
We've got to pay in 2032 185 million back on the MEA loans. These are serious issues which everyone on the island is going to have to face. And I would have liked to have seen more business people stand to help out.
What do you think about the current makeup of the House of Keys? Do you think, from what you've said, that there need to be more business people with that kind of a background?
Yes, I think we need a mixture, but I think David Cannon has said that this was the worst government that he could remember, and whilst I'm not, I don't go as far back as Mr. Cannon, I have to say that I'm disappointed with some of the ways that we've been spending our money. We've known since 2008 that this VAT hit and the amount was going to happen, yet we still went ahead and spent £3.5 million on Richmond Hill. We've got roundabouts costing £250,000. They're now discussing spending £70 million on a bus station with apartments. It just can't go on. If you know you haven't got the money coming in, you cut your expenses and, yeah. And weather the storm, and yeah. it just hasn't been happening as far as I can see.
Cut your cloth according to your means.
Yeah.
Richmond Hill, I take your point, and the roundabout, certainly, but the bus station development, surely that was going to be a private thing anyway, wasn't it? Government were just looking for a private partner in that.
But have they got it?
No, but I don't think so.
No, they haven't.
So, but I don't think government are saying that they want to spend 70 million, are they?
I think it's important that we have a bus depot for the public, somewhere where they can go out of the rain, a cafe, toilet facilities. But do we need some all singing, dancing setup with apartments?
£100 million a year plus in the, not in the red, but like you say, a black hole. We're talking about billions as far as the pension is concerned. What's the answer to that?
Well, I think first of all we have to make savings. In 2006, there was what was called the Quayle Report into the structure and scope of the Alamann government was issued, and it came up with many ways of reducing the civil service in numbers and what the actual government does. And I think some of those, well, an awful lot of those recommendations, I think there was 44 in total, 48, sorry, should have been actioned. Now, we did restructure government, but effectively we ended up with the same number of departments. The Department of Economic Development needed to be done, but an awful lot more should have been done at the time. Also, we know we need to spend our money wisely, as my old housemaster used to say to me, spend it wisely, Quayle. We need to make sure that what limited funds we do have are spent sensibly rather than frittered away.
Do you think we've got a bloated public sector?
Well, put it this way, 57% of all our expenditure on the Isle of Man, £307 million, is spent on wages on the Isle of Man. So it's unsustainable. Nearly 20% of everyone working on the Isle of Man is employed by government, and maybe we've been able to get away with that when we've had the good times, but unfortunately the cloud storms have been gathering around the Isle of Man for a long time now, and the cuts which were recommended in the Quayle report have never happened.
And where would they be? Where do you think jobs should be cut? Because that's what we're talking about, isn't it?
Well, unfortunately, at the moment, we seem to have those people who are working at the coalface are having their jobs cut, and the managers behind the scenes are keeping their jobs. So I suppose asking senior people to make cuts is like getting turkeys to vote for Christmas. Are you going to get the right cuts? But we need to be asking ourselves, should we be running MEA retail outlets? Should we be running the Villa Marina, the National Sports Centre? Should we be putting those out for private businesses?
What do you think?
I think we're going to have to. You know, in a perfect world, it would be nice to give a fantastic service to everyone on the Isle of Man. But unfortunately, we've just lost 20% of our income. So there's no point lying to the public. The cuts after this election are going to be significant, and I feel as if had the cuts been done earlier when they knew there was a problem, then they wouldn't be as hard as they're going to be in the future. If you've got a leak in the roof of your house, the longer you put off fixing it, the more expensive the repair bill is.
Do you think that the current government's done that? Do you think that it's put all this off, all this bad news, until after the election?
Unfortunately, yes. They've made some of them have made attempts, but there's an awful lot that's going to have to be done. The more you look at the island's accounts, we're taking large amounts of reserves from our capital reserves account to plug the gap. We're not charging interest on any capital projects at the moment. That's £18 million extra that's coming out of the capital reserves account. We need to be putting £57 million aside just to stop the gap widening on the pensions. Liability. We have serious problems. I'm not saying it's all doom and gloom. We don't have the borrowings of the UK, but we have significant financial problems ahead of us with a 20% reduction in income, and we need to be doing more.
To an extent, we've got to operate on a balanced budget, don't we? We can't borrow money externally, particularly. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. If you can run any business without debt, then interest charges are a big expense. So yes, I would like to see us not having any borrowings, but we've already got 185 million with the MEA in borrowings that we're going to have to pay. So it's serious times ahead. Not doom and gloom, but I just think if we accept the problems and we take action now rather than later, then we can come through this together. But I feel as if the changes should have been happening from as far back as 2006.
Now, if you're elected, you're a farmer, and like I say, I've interviewed you dozens of times over the past few years about farming issues. If you're elected, are you going to be banging the drum for farmers?
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to say I'm a businessman. I've got three businesses. The majority of my income does not come from farming. So, as it happens, I feel it's important for the Isle of Man that we have food security on the island. So, yes, I will be taking an interest in agricultural issues, but no, I will be looking at the whole area of government should I be fortunate enough to get in.
What's the most important thing, do you think, for an MHK, being a good constituency man or looking to the national government?
I think you've got to be a good all-rounder. You can't forget your constituents. In Braddon at the moment, one of the main problems is the amount of traffic going through it, and you know, all the south and the west traffic go through Middle, and the extra, you know, cars, the speed of them are major concerns. So these are things that your constituency MHK has to look after. You have to give a good service. You can't forget those people who you have elected, but equally you do have to take a major stake in taking the island forward and trying to generate new income, trying to make sure that we spend our money on behalf of the taxpayers wisely and make sure we get value for money.
That's probably why it's called Middle, I expect, because, you know, it is in the middle of the island. Everybody's got to drive through it if they're going anywhere, haven't they?
Well, that's right, but the new hospital, if you look at the junction from Union Mills, the Strang Road going up to the Strang roundabout, the volumes of traffic that the residents living there are having to deal with is horrendous. People are using it as a shortcut to get to the hospital. They're faced with all sorts of speed bumps, but the volumes are unacceptable. And these are local issues that I would expect as the MHK, should I be elected, to address.
And how could you address that, though? What would you do? Would you try and limit the number of cars on the roads? Would you build more roads? What's the answer to that?
I think you're going to have words with the Department of Infrastructure and the police and the residents to come up with solutions to solve the problem. Or you're not going to solve the problem, you're going to ease the situation and try and improve it.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio.
Talking to one of the three candidates who's going to stand for the seat of Middle in the September general elections, Howard Quayle. So, Howard, you feel as though you've got the right background for this. You're ready for it. You've served as an officer of the Manx National Farmers Union. You're used to people coming to you for advice and help. You feel that you're ready to stand as an MHK.
Well, I was 5 years at the top of agricultural politics. I've represented the island in Strasbourg, Brussels, Westminster. I've got contacts with MEPs and the Conservative and Liberal parties in Europe, and I'm used to chairing meetings, making addresses to people. So hopefully that, along with my business experience over the years, I do, you know, I have built up three businesses from scratch, but I have worked in the private sector and I have worked in the civil service. Hopefully these are all strings to my bow that, yes, I can put into effect for the people of the island.
Are you standing as a strict independent, or are you allied to anybody like the PAG or the Lib Vans?
No, I'm a strict independent.
And do you think that that's important, because there have been calls in the past for more party politics and to have a proper opposition?
I think that we're only an island of 82,000 people, and I think really an independent way is the way forward.
How would you describe your politics? Are you left-wing, centrist, right-wing?
I should imagine I'm fairly central-wing. I'd like to add that I would be prepared to work with any other MHK who, for the good of the island.
Yeah. And, well, is that sort of... Does that work, do you think, in government, in that there are some sort of alliances, aren't there, between different MHKs? It's all very informal, usually. Do you think that those things work?
I think I would like to see the number of ministers reduced by one, because at the moment I think you do have a block vote, and I think if we can reduce the number of departments by maybe one, then it would give greater powers to individual MHKs to have a greater say. You have various groupings at the moment. You've got the group called the No-Mins, the Council of Ministers, then you've got individuals who sometimes work with other people. So I think if we could reduce the number of ministers just by one, then there would be far better debate and we'd be able to get things discussed properly before money is spent.
So which department would you cull?
I suppose community, culture and leisure. I felt, you know, at the moment we've got 9 departments. I think if that could be amalgamated throughout government, it would make a saving to government, but also, harping on, but one less minister, I think, would help with the debate on the island.
Well, it's not just the Comyn block vote, is it? It's the fact that so many people are members of departments as well, so that effectively gives the government the mandate to do pretty much what it likes.
Well, you're elected to look after the people of the Isle of Man, and if you feel strongly that the way the government is going is not good for for your constituents and the people of the Isle of Man, then really you should stand up and be counted rather than just vote in the party way.
You said earlier on that you're not happy with the current government, you don't think it's done a particularly good job. Is that because we're just facing tough times and that we've had it, as an island, we've had it too good for too many years now?
I don't think you can necessarily blame the current government for losing the $140 million VAT payment, but I think when you have good times, you have to make sure you put enough money aside for the rainy day, and I don't think that's happened. What I'm also critical of is that in 2008, they knew that they were losing this money. I'm sure they knew before then, but once you've known that you're going to lose 20% of your income, then I felt that plan should have been put into place straight away to address the problems. So instead of having cuts after this election, we should have had more sensible cuts earlier on. It's back to the leaking roof syndrome.
I've heard critics over the years suggest that the government maybe didn't do enough when the times were good. All right, we've got a new hospital, we've got the new power station. Do you think that that's maybe true, that when there was plenty of money around, it wasn't spent on the right things, or do you think we've built the things that we needed?
I think, on the whole, we've put in a good infrastructure on the island, so it's great that we've got the hospital, but we seem to pay through the nose for everything. We seem to pay Rolls-Royce prices and get larder services on the Isle of Man. And I just think the business experience of knowing how things cost, how to negotiate contracts, are important in your political life.
But if the minister hasn't got that expertise, surely the civil servants that report to him have, haven't they?
They should have, but I don't think all senior civil servants have. I personally would like to see the top execs of each department have experience in the finance sector and not just be pure career civil servants. It's a lot easier spending other people's money than your own money. And I think, if you've built up a business from scratch, you know how hard and difficult it is to pay bills, and you're more cautious and careful with the money.
How long do you think it would take to get up to speed as a new MHK? Because I've wondered about that over the last 6 months or so, that a lot of people have said, oh, we need to get rid of the current lot completely, get all new MHKs in. My worry about that is that people are going to take 6 months to find out where the loos are.
I think different people elected will take longer to get up to speed with things. I suppose because I've been heavily involved in politics on the island in the past, I would hope that I could pick it up quicker than maybe someone who's never been a commissioner or has never been involved in politics on the Isle of Man. So, yeah, well, it's just not going to happen that we're going to have a total clear out, because we have constituencies where there's no challenges at the moment. And yeah. I think, really, if you're going to take on a sitting MHK, if you haven't declared by now, then the amount of work you've got to do to get round everyone and get your message across and gather support, I just personally think it's too late.
If you're successful in September, what would your priorities be?
I suppose getting to grips with the issues I've discussed before, the spending, getting spending under control.
But as a new MHK, are you likely to be able to do that? How would you do it? By questions in Tynwald?
Questions in Tynwald, allying myself with other MHKs to try and force through changes. There's an awful lot of constituency work that people feel hasn't been done, that needs to be done. So getting a team behind me to help me do a good service to the people of Middle and hit the ground running.
And where do you stand as far as taking maybe a departmental job is concerned? Are you game for that? Or, I mean, Peter Carron said that he doesn't ever want to do that.
I think it's really important that you do take a departmental job for the simple reason, if you're sitting in the House of Keys and you're being asked to vote on a policy that a department is putting through, if you've got no departmental experience in how that department works, what the problems are in that department, then I don't think you can make sensible decisions. So I would like to be put on two departments and then maybe rotate every few years so that you can get a good understanding of how government works.
Have you come up with a manifesto as such?
I have a manifesto in my head at the moment, but I think you go around the public in middle, you listen to their views, and then once you think that you've taken on board all their concerns, then you publish your manifesto. So I won't be putting one out for another couple of months yet.
But isn't that a bit of a cop-out in that you're asking the electorate to come up with your manifesto for you?
No, I don't think so. When I go around the door, I've been out for a couple of months now door-knocking, I'm letting people know the problems, how I would address them, the way forward, but equally their views are important, and when people are coming up with ideas, you have to say whether you agree with them or not, and if they've got sensible views, then you need to factor that into your manifesto.
What do you think about this current thing in government where everything goes out to consultation, usually to public consultation? Do you think it's a good thing?
I think on certain, I'm going to fudge this on certain issues we do have to consult, but at the end of the day we seem to be spending a fantastic amount of money on getting in consultants to give us advice.
Well, that's a different thing. I'm talking more about the in-house, the consulting with the public rather than bringing in consultants. It just strikes me that before anybody can sign a piece of paper these days, it has to go out to public consultation about whether it's a good idea or not. And I worry whether or not it's just part of an apparently transparent government, but actually it doesn't make much difference at all.
Right. I think on major key issues, then we should consult direct with the public. But if your MHK is doing a good job, then he should be out listening to his constituents anyway. So I think the constituents elect an MHK. They put their trust on that person to represent them properly. So I think a large amount of decisions should be made by your MHK. And if you have any concerns, when I'm going around the constituents at the moment, I'm speaking to people with all sorts of different skills who are more than happy to give advice when these issues are coming up. And I'm not saying I'm an expert on everything, far from it, but hopefully the way I run my businesses, I've listened and seen other good ideas and sort of copied them myself. So yeah. You've got people throughout your area who you can speak to on certain key issues, get their feedback, and then you can make a balanced decision. So I think a sort of a mixture.
Okay. And so you're standing for middle, and it's going to be a case of I'm Howard Quayle and I'm a generally all-round good bloke. Vote for me. Why would people vote for you and not for the incumbent or for one of the other candidates?
I suppose, first of all, I'm a businessman. I like to think I'm a good businessman. I take an interest in the local community. I have done for years. My family is well involved in Moran. I'm a very approachable guy. There's no airs and graces. What you see is what you get. And I think with the political experience I already have, combined with a business sense on how to spend money sensibly, at the moment I think that's what the constituency need. I also think the constituency needs very good service from its MHK, and I'm prepared to put in the hours and the time to help people out.
What do you think about MHK's pay? Do you think they're paid enough?
I think MHKs should lead by example. Now, we're going to be asking the public of the Isle of Man to take big cuts in the next 5 years. And I think, I was very disappointed when the MHKs had the opportunity to pay a contribution towards their pensions and voted not to. And that's something I would fully support early on in the next sitting, that we are going to have to lead by example and contribute to the MHK's pension fund.
Which is, it is crazy, isn't it, that the MHKs don't contribute to their pension fund?
Unbelievable. You don't go into into public service being an MHK to make a vast amount of money. In my opinion, you're there to do your best for the Isle of Man and put back into the island, and getting a full pension paid for by the taxpayer doesn't seem at all fair.
You're on the doorsteps at the moment. You say that you're knocking at doors and talking to people, and you're getting some feedback on that. Apart from things like the amount of traffic in middle, what are the key issues that are coming out?
People are genuinely concerned about the state of the island's economy. Richmond Hill and the waste of money that they are seeing throughout the island, they are. I think if I'd gone around 5 years ago, people wouldn't have been so concerned, but these are major concerns to people. So the island's economy is in the minds of everyone I've gone round at the moment. You always get people who've got zero interest in politics whatsoever, but the people that I'm talking to are very concerned. They realise we're in serious trouble.
With Richmond Hill, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think it was a Rolls-Royce scheme that wasn't needed. But people who want to back it up say, well, if it saves a life and, you know, it has been an accident black spot, then what price do you put on saving lives?
You speak to the police and they tell you it's worse now than it was. The Canberra's worse than it was before. So, I mean, yes, everyone wants to save a life, and if it was the worst accident black spot on the island, but there are other traffic calming measures that you could have put in to slow traffic down and make it safer. But spending £3.5 million when we're £100 million short, I mean, the interest alone on that £3.5 million would pay for the breast cancer consultants, a surgeon, a prostate cancer specialist. We just have to get value for money and say, do we need to spend £3.5 million on Richmond Hill when we're heavily down on our funds elsewhere?
We're out of time, but Howard Quayle, it's been lovely talking to you. Thanks very much for
coming.
Thanks
very much, Stu.